So this is a, you got your notes, and let's pray. This is the first time I've ever done like a service like this. It's just really kind of dedicated to prayer and healing at the altar. So Father, may you move this morning in a special way on the hearts of people who really need some prayers answered or need a healing touch in their life. May Satan be bound, and may your Holy Spirit just minister through your saints at the altars here this morning. Teach us from your word, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, you got your notes? So I know every one of these nine lessons, and I don't know why I was like, Lord, how come you didn't give me 10? So I got nine. There's probably hundreds of lessons in the Bible. Each one of these could be a whole sermon. But here they are. These are the ones that the Lord impressed on me for you. Lesson number one is that God uses doctors, medicine, counselors, dentists, chiropractors, and the like to help us all. It is clear that God often will use doctors and medicine to minister healing to us, that the Lord's will is that he will use them. In fact, I wonder how many of us would still be alive if it wasn't for doctors and medicine. I know at one point for 7 years of my life, I had pneumonia every year, and I am sure I may not be here if it wasn't for antibiotics or whatever they give you for pneumonia. That's not the problem. God often can, he has lots of different ways to minister healing. He can do it divinely, miraculously. He may use a doctor. He may use medicine. There's all kinds of different ways. And the best way that I could explain this is, let's say for sake of argument that you are in the ocean in a rowboat, and you have a little engine, you run out of gas, you're in the middle of the ocean, your boat is sinking, and you don't know how to swim. So what should you do first?
Pray.
All right, one person's got it. All right, so you pray. Now give me some ways that God can miraculously save you.
Walk on water.
Walk on water. Thank you, Lord. And you walk on water off the ocean and go to land. I heard a whale. That's funny because every one of the services says a whale. Hopefully the whale picks up the rowboat or the boat, and as opposed to ride inside. But not one service said submarine. Like the submarine just happened to come up and rescue you. All right, how else could you be rescued? A boat. Maybe someone's on a boat. They just happen to have binoculars, happen to see you in distress, and go save you. Do you think God could do that as a miracle? God use a person. Okay. Could the Lord use the Coast Guard, people that are trained in rescuing people? Could he use the Coast Guard like using a doctor? He could multiply your gas and suddenly your engine runs. He could miraculously, the disciples at one point were in a boat, and then it says miraculously the boat wound up on the other side of the shore. There's probably tons of different ways that God can save you that is God's hand. So the problem is not doctors and medicine and all that stuff. The problem is when you turn to them only without turning to the Lord first. So 2 Chronicles 16:12. In the 39th year of his reign, King Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to the physicians. And I think that is a mistake, by the way. I think that no matter what you're going through with your personal health, doctors and medicine are very helpful, but you should be seeking the Lord to direct you to the right doctor, for instance. I think there are some people who think that every doctor is an A-plus terrific doctor. I'm going to tell you that's not true. You want wisdom to lead you to the right doctor that is going to care for you. You need wisdom. When I visit older people and they say, hey, Pastor, let me show you the 50 pills that I'm taking prescribed to me. You need wisdom on should you be taking all of those 50 pills. In the news lately, they've been talking about a little red pill that they give older people in nursing homes and old folks' homes. And that little red pill is only supposed to be for 1% of the elderly population. But because the pharmacists, the manufacturing, and doctors make so much money on this little red pill, up to 20% of old people that shouldn't be on this little red pill are being prescribed this little red pill. Now everyone's going to go home and look at the color of their pills. I'm like, you are crazy if you're just dealing with the doctors and medicine and all that and operations without seeking the Lord for his divine guidance and wisdom as you're looking for your physical health. Number two, lesson two. Jesus is willing to heal today as much as he was back in the Bible times. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus healed in the Old Testament. Jesus healed when he was on the earth. Jesus healed in the book of Acts. And for 2,000 years in the church age, Jesus has been healing thousands and millions of people. So it says in Luke chapter 5, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am what? I am willing," he said, "be clean." I believe that Jesus is willing to answer prayers. Number three, the importance of humility in coming to Jesus for prayer. There are certain, it's kind of more the health, wealth, prosperity that I think often miss the humility part, and they go, you claim it, you demand it, it's your right. So you're supposed to go to God, "God, I'm your son. You give me that healing I deserve because I'm a son of the king, and I command it for myself." I'm like, I don't see that in Scripture. That's what they're being taught. In Scripture, I see people like falling on their knees or pleading, "Have mercy on me." I see humility. I don't see anyone demanding from Jesus or from God, "You give me this. I deserve it. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You have to give it to me." I see much more humility. It says in the Bible that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So the importance of humility. A centurion, he was a pretty significant officer, over 100 men. He came to Jesus asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." How many of you have heard this verse? I don't know if you know this or not, but I was raised in the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, you say this verse every service. And it always, so it's impressed upon me that in the Catholic Church, they're impressing that we say this, that we always come to God in humility. We don't deserve God to do anything. It's all by his grace and his mercy. Lesson number four. Faith is a key ingredient to any kind of prayer being answered. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Because faith believes that God is real and that he is a prayer-answering God. So you need to believe God's real and that he answers prayers. So this is the centurion again. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." In fact, Jesus said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So faith is believing that God answers prayers. It's very important, like the elders will pray for people, and you'll see in a bit here, it's very important that the elders believe that God is real and they know that God answers prayers. Lesson five, the ultimate healing that all should desire is to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So I don't know what I want to say here. Obviously, God can keep healing you all the time down here on earth, but if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus and you're not saved, what is the point of it all? Because you're eventually going to die and you'll be separated from God for eternity. The ultimate healing is to give your heart to Jesus so that someday you're going to get a new body and you're going to live forever in heaven. Now, I know this is going to shake up some people, but ultimately, God won't continue to heal you and you will die. We will die unless the Lord comes back. I don't know if you've figured that out yet or not. Okay? So sooner or later, as you get older, you'll start having heart problems. You might get diabetes. You might get high blood pressure. You might get cancer. You might get liver issues. There are tons of things that can happen, and you just need to know that ultimately you are not healed and you die. Does everyone understand that? That's why salvation is the most important thing, because sooner or later we're all going to stand before God, and you want to make sure that you are safe. Robin and I, this is 36 years ago, this is before we got married, and I was an assistant pastor at a church in Ohio. And there was a group and a new, I don't know what I want to call it. It was a new church, a new cult group had started. And they were preaching, and some of our friends joined this new church. And it had about 60 people in it. And they believed that all sickness was from sin. And so because they didn't have any sin, that they would never get sick, okay? And they also believed that growing old was because of sin. That if you did not sin, you would not grow old. You would be like the people in the times before Noah. So if you didn't sin, you would live 700 years, 500 years, you with me? It's sin that ages you. And so everyone, by the way, everyone in the church was in their 20s. You can only do this if you're going to have this kind of cult. You can only do it with 20-year-olds, okay? Because for some reason, you don't seem to change very much from 20 to 30, do you? You can pretty much look alike. In fact, maybe even get better looking, okay, from 20 to 30. But it's been 36 years. I wonder what's happened to that group. In fact, some of them I already know are very sinful because I see them on Facebook and I notice some of them look even older than I do. Okay, so I'm like, wow, you really have sin in your life. So salvation is the most important thing, because eventually we are all going to succumb to some illness problem. Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, that's salvation, and heals all your diseases, so that's healing. Who redeems, this is the psalm just continuing on, who redeems your life from the pit, from hell, that's salvation, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's healing. And there's no doubt there is a blessing on believers with healing and answered prayer. But salvation is very important. 6, the importance of laying on of hands and anointing with oil. So Jesus would lay his hands on people, and then he tells the elders, when you pray with people, there's something special when you lay hands on them. I think when Jesus laid hands on people, power flowed from him and ministered healing to people. So when the elders are laying their hands on you, it's men, when the deaconesses, it's men and women that are filled with Jesus. So it's like Jesus is laying his hands on you through that person. And God's power flows. It's not from Joe Toomey or the elders. It's from the Holy Spirit flowing and ministering healing. We anoint with oil. In the scripture, the oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. I think it's to emphasize, it's not Joe Toomey, it's the Spirit of Jesus that ministers healing and answered prayer to people. So here's the verse right in James. Here's the instructions to believers in the church. Is any one of you sick? Before you rush off to the doctors, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him. To pray over him means to lay hands on the person. The elders pray over you. You're down on your knees in humility, and the elders pray over you by laying their hands on you. But that's the hands of Jesus. And they pray over you, over him, and anoint him with oil, so you know that it's not power it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, obviously, hopefully the elders and deaconesses are men and women who believe that God can move, will make the sick person well, the Lord will raise him up. This is the apostles in Mark 6. They went out and preached that people should repent, salvation. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Lesson 7. There is power when we come to prayer for others, and there is a blessing that falls upon those who care and pray for others. So we're going to open up the altars. People are going to come up, and the elders and the deaconesses are going to come up and pray with people. But if you feel led to pray for someone, like let's say someone's coming up and they're going through a tough time, and you've been there, and God, you're just a person of faith, and you're like, I want to pray. You feel led to pray for some individual, you come and pray as well. There's a blessing on those people who you come and pray for others. So here's Psalm 41, 1-3. Blessed is he or she who has regard for the weak. So if you care for people that are hurting, that need prayer, physical, for their family, whatever, you care for people, then this is what God says. Then the Lord will deliver you in times of trouble. The Lord will protect you in times of trouble. The Lord will sustain you on your sick bed and restore you from your bed of illness. So there's a great promise. You care for others that are hurting, that are weak, and God says, you know, I'm going to remember that. So when you get sick, I'm going to take care of you. When you're in trouble, I'm going to help protect you because I see how you were with other people. Lesson 8. Sicknesses, diseases, and sorrows can be traced to three sources. They are the world, Satan, and the flesh. This is why you got to be very careful that you cannot judge if someone is sick that it's from sin. It's easy to do that. But sometimes it might be from Satan, like Job and his family. His friends were like, oh, Job, you've got sin in your life. No, it really wasn't. He was under satanic attack. So you're misjudging when you're saying, well, you got sin in your life. That's why that's happened. It could be. It could be from the flesh. Could be from Satan. And it could be from the world. So let me explain the world. I'm in an airplane, and I'm sitting next to a person who's got the flu. And they're coughing all over me in the flight. And guess what? I get it. Now, did I get it because I'm sinful? Did I get it because Satan's attacking me? Or did I get it because the guy was sick next to me in the airplane? And the answer is I got it because the guy next to me is sick in the airplane. I'm in the world. There are people that died in the fires in California. Did they die because they were great sinners? Or did they die because we are living in a fallen world that this fire has spread and they got trapped and have, you know, death and horrible sorrows, losing their house? People in the hurricanes and all these tragedies, it's because we live in a fallen world. So don't be judging, well, this happened because sin's in your life. No, this happened because the weather was perfect. We live in perfect for fires to consume and kill a lot of people. Everyone that gets bitten by mosquitoes, that gets malaria, the millions of people that get malaria every year, do they get malaria because they're sinful, you know, it's because of sin in their life? Or do they get malaria because there's mosquitoes that carry it and bite people and Zika and all that stuff? So you got to be very careful to judge why people get sick. a lot of illnesses that we have might be from the food we're eating. It's not from sin in our life. So be very careful. Illnesses can come from these three different sources. And final lesson is the importance of perseverance. So Jesus talked about a widow. He told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And he talks about this widow who keeps going to this judge. She needs some help, and the judge keeps putting her off, but she is persistent over and over again until the judge says, "She's going to wear me out. Just give her what she wants." And Jesus says, that's the way we should be with God. I am amazed they are not in this service. There's a couple that I know that they're wrestling with a physical need. But I am amazed every single Sunday they come up. I'm like, yeah, God's probably going to answer them, because every Sunday they come up to talk to the Lord about this situation. Now, the only time that you shouldn't keep persisting is if the Lord reveals to you it is a thorn in the flesh. So the Apostle Paul says he was caught up to the third heaven and had great revelations. He saw things in heaven. And he said to keep him from becoming conceited, that God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment him. Three times the Apostle Paul pleaded for the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away from him. But the Lord said, No, I'm not. In your weakness, my grace will be manifested. The Lord says to the Apostle Paul, I'm not taking this thorn in the flesh away from you because you'll become prideful and conceited. I personally believe that every single believer gets a thorn in the flesh. Gets a thorn in the flesh. Because if you didn't have the thorn in the flesh and you were always healthy and everything was always perfect, I think we would become very prideful people. In fact, and it's pride that leads to a fall. So prideful that you will think you are someone so special and unique, and you're almost like God. So I personally believe God gives all of us some thorn in the flesh, and it's different for every one of us. Some issue, some sickness, some enemy, some family situation, something that keeps you humble, that keeps you broken, that the Lord says, you can pray all you want about that, but I already told you, I'm not taking it away. Because this is a special thorn just for you to keep you humble. Other than that, I would be persistent. So we want to open up the altars. Let's have the worship team. I want to invite you to come.